Atheist Nomads, episode 414. Why bad things happen to good people.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And this isn't going to be... Hopefully it won't be that long of an episode, because it is hotter than blazes here.
Not as hot as some places, but hot enough that we can't record out in the living room for very long.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have central air conditioning, and it was 106 degrees today. Not as bad as Portland was yesterday, as of recording, or even Seattle was.
And not as bad as it was yesterday at the same time in here yesterday.
Yeah.
So, then, you know, pluses.
Right. So, For our listeners further to the west that were more directly under the heat dome, you definitely have our sympathies.
Yes.
I was living in Everett and was in downtown Seattle the day of the last high record there before that got shattered so many times in the past week.
This is the second major heat wave in a decade.
That one was 2009, and...
Okay, so just...
Yeah.
I was going to say, heat wave two!
Dome. So, yeah, we're gonna not record particularly long. So let's get into Dustin off the degree, and I'm trying to stick with the series of the relatively basic topics of, you know, getting back to the basics of religion, and in particular Christianity. And when I initially started doing Dustin off the degree, it was a little bit more focused on the basics of Adventism. I'm trying to be more general this time around.
Yeah.
And
I've learned a lot.
I thought it'd be good for this one. Why bad things happen to good people.
Okay.
This is something that some religions have a harder time dealing with than others. In particular, the Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
They just can't take the punches, huh?
Have a harder time with why bad things happen to good people than, say, Buddhism and Hinduism, Jainism, and the other reincarnation-based religions.
Okay.
Where bad things happen to you because you were bad. Karma.
Yeah.
They solved it and based an entire religion on
right,
why bad things happen to good
people. Every human being does bad things, and it comes back and bites you in the butt most of the time.
And bad things happen to all humans.
Right. It doesn't matter how good you are. It happens.
Right. So the reason why it's a problem... And it's more so for certain sects of Judaism and most of Christianity than it is for Islam, is the idea that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving. If God knows what's going to happen before it happens and has the power to stop things from happening and loves you so much, how is he going to let bad things happen to you?
It's the all-loving part. If they had just left off that part, it would have solved it.
So yeah, the all-loving thing is the one that gets in the way of it.
I mean, nowhere in the Bible do you see a God that is all-loving.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Which was like a takey back. So not that much love.
And, you know, but Christianity...
If I was going to get my son back in 3 days, I'd sacrifice him too, you know, just saying. 3 days break? Man... No, that's terrible.
And for Jews, it's they're God's chosen people. Why do bad things keep happening to them? That's one that they've had to deal with a lot.
One actually makes sense.
And of course, the book of the title, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, which I read back in college. I don't remember which class it was for, but it was one of my theology classes. Was written by a rabbi whose son had died.
Right.
And he was having to wrestle with the issue of his son was a good kid.
Yeah.
And how could a loving God do that and kill his son? And so he wrestled through it in a book, well, for years personally, and then in a book focused on the story of Job, which is in... the writings section of the Jewish scriptures and in the poetry section of the Christian Old Testament.
Mm. Everybody knows Job.
And Job is thought by many scholars to be the oldest story in the Old Testament, while the particular version of it that's in the Bible is one of the last things to have been written.
Oh, so it was...
That it's an ancient...
edited. Old story.
Ancient oral tradition that finally got written down 2nd or 3rd century, 3rd or 4th century BCE, but a story that had been going around through the Middle East, probably going back at least 1,000 years before that. So in the story of Job, he's an old man. He is ridiculously rich. He's got a bunch of kids. They're all married and doing well. And he's got tons of servants and slaves and loves his wife. And everything is going great for him. And the devil goes up to the Galactic Council up in heaven. And
what?
Yeah, there's a council meeting in heaven, and the devil goes, and God taunts the devil with, oh, hey there, Lucifer, or hey there, Satan, have you seen my man down there, Job? And...
Okay, so?
So, the devil then challenges God to... With basically, of course he praises you constantly. He's got everything.
Yeah, right?
Take it away, and he'll curse you. So God takes him up on the bet, and over several successive bets, wipes out his crops, wipes out his livestock, kills his slaves, kills his children, and leaves him and destroys his house, leaves him destitute, just him and his wife left. And part of that was because every time God took away something from Job, Job didn't blame God.
Hashtag blessed.
And Satan kept saying, well, but if you took away more, he would curse you. Till eventually he took away everything.
Hashtag God works in mysterious ways.
So then Job's friends show up and berate him for being so sanctimonious to be able to say that he hadn't done anything to deserve this. And his wife tells him that he should just... Oh, because also God takes away Job's health too.
Right, because he was like, had like... sores and
painful boils and sores, and
it's always boils.
Yeah, I've had a boil from a poisonous spider bite. It sucks.
Yeah,
it really sucks. Being covered in that would really suck. And so, yeah, Job's wife tells him that he should just curse God and die. And his friends go on these tirades that to most Christians and modern Jews, Job's friends are right. They're the ones saying the stuff that's good theology. And Job is being a sanctimonious ass.
Hashtag blessed.
And at the end, the devil admits defeat. And God blesses Job by restoring his riches and allowing him to have new kids. And he's richer than ever and happier than ever.
How'd the rabbi feel about that little line? I'm sure he didn't get into that, but...
He went through the story as, because Job's losses, yeah, he got new kids. He didn't get the old kids back.
Right? That's not the same.
That's starting over with new babies when your kids are all in their 20s.
Yeah.
That's a very different thing.
That, like those poor grandparents that get stuck with their, I'm sorry for those people. Well, I mean, sometimes it's great, I'm sure.
Yeah. So then, but yeah, so. In the story of Job, bad things happen to a good person because God took up the devil on his bet.
Because God is prideful.
Yeah. God's a sanctimonious
That still doesn't explain.
So the rabbi's conclusion...
Oh, it's a test. That's what people always...
So this rabbi, his conclusion was God isn't all-powerful.
Ah.
God knows, and he's all-loving, but he has limits to his power. Self-imposed limits to his power, but limits nonetheless. And those limits make it so that he can't intervene.
But he made crops die, children die, slaves die.
He was accepting Job as a metaphorical story, an allegory, and using it as to help illustrate his points in the book. And
okay.
And as a comparison to himself in his own journey through loss. But when you look at the ways that people deal with how bad things happen to good people, God's not all powerful is actually a relatively thoughtful point of view that I can respect.
Okay.
If you're holding on to your faith and your belief and struggling with that issue, and you're willing to accept that clearly your concept of God is wrong, and you have to adjust the attributes you believe your God has to make sense of the world, I can respect that. I can't respect the other responses that believers have to why bad things happen to good people.
Which is what?
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, that's a cop-out.
That's a...
God is all-knowing,
that,
but not all-loving.
God works in mysterious ways is the... God is all-knowing and all-loving and all-powerful and is always doing the right thing and is always the best thing for you. And I have to keep saying all of these things, but I can't think about it any more than that.
Because so-and-so's in a better place, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's the deterministic viewpoint. This is one reason why Islam doesn't have as much of an issue with it. God wills it. Why do bad things happen to good people? God wills it. Well, doesn't that mean that God's an asshole? Who cares?
Right.
He's God.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I respect that.
That is actually one that I can respect as well.
You just can't pretend that it's an all-loving God either.
And at that point, God's not all-loving.
Right.
Those are people who haven't ascribed to that viewpoint, which is a relatively modern point of view in Western religion of a loving God.
Yeah, it's like really new.
Like, traditionally, Catholics don't even pray to God. They pray to saints because God's a dick.
And won't listen.
And won't listen. So they have to pray to saints who are friends with God, who can then go talk to God on their behalf because God's such a dick. Because
we all have the fall guy. Just let it be a saint instead.
Then there's the God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving, but he respects human free will so much that he won't intervene.
Oh, I have heard that one. Yeah.
It's that he respects us so much that he has to let the bad things happen.
I think of it more as like one of those crazy, what do you call those machines where it's like a really super complicated marble rolling?
Yeah.
God pushed the marble and humans have built up the machine and he's just going, oh shit. Oh, that hurt. Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Now that thought process works in cases of like murder and drunk drivers where why did a bad thing happen to a good person? A bad person did the wrong thing and caused that.
Yeah.
If you believe God is in control of everything, a child dying of cancer.
Yeah.
That's not respecting human free will.
No.
For a child to die of cancer. It's a cop out that doesn't explain the actual hard ones for people to wrap their heads around.
Right. Yeah. It's the weird somebody doing something good that ends up killing them or hurting them in some way. People dying of cancer, which is completely beyond your control most of the time. I like the idea of karma. Uh-huh. Every toddler out there has pulled a cat's tail. Unraveled all the toilet paper, shoved it behind the toilet so that parents wouldn't find it. Sorry, hon. Those are just marks that are all racking up against you. Hopefully it doesn't end in death, but you know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a harder one to...
I say, after having to clean up some of that toilet paper.
Yeah. Today. But yeah, it's a harder one to deal with when
true innocence is...
True innocence, and there's no... You can't find a causal link outside of God. Humans are pattern-seeking creatures. All creatures seek patterns. We naturally look for a causal agent. It's something that helped us survive in the jungles and the savanna, our ancestors, and continues to help us survive to look for who made that noise.
Right.
And then assess if that's a threat. If you think it's a tiger and it's not a tiger, it's just the wind, you live. If you think it's the wind, but it's actually a tiger, you're dead.
Yeah, I wonder if that makes like certain cancers that are a result of environment, if it makes those kind of things a lot easier to deal with than random mutation
or yeah.
Unknown reasons. Like, I can see that being the case.
Like,
obviously, I have not had much experience in that.
Most people don't have a hard time coming to terms with how grandpa died of prostate cancer.
Right.
that's because he was old.
Yeah.
That just happens.
Right.
It's when it's those, environmental ones, like, because, nobody also would have any trouble figuring out who to blame for lung cancer.
Yeah.
For somebody who smoked 5 packs a day.
Or whose job was to remove asbestos.
Yeah. It's like, you know why. But when it's the person who lived a perfectly healthy, clean life and never smoked a cigarette ever, dying of lung cancer at 40?
Yeah.
That's the what the fuck? And kids dying of leukemia? That's always a what the fuck? And when you believe there's somebody in charge, you have to figure out an answer. A lot of the systems have... Like, the Adventist system has worked out why kids die of cancer. It's that sin has corrupted our DNA.
Ah.
That as soon as sin entered the world, everything on Earth was corrupted, including DNA. And so that corruption of the DNA causes things like...
Right, because in a religious world, there's no such thing as coincidence or accident.
No.
It's always something. And it's just like... Sometimes it's just an accident.
Sometimes it's a roll of the genetic dice that just turned up.
But we have the privilege of being able to say that. People with beliefs don't necessarily have that privilege.
Right. If you're a young Earth creationist who believes that Jesus is coming any minute, you're not likely to be able to come to terms with it's a roll of genetic dice. It's also a privilege of the modern world where it's not normal for kids and young adults to die.
Yeah. Would have died without medical intervention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right there, it's...
She wouldn't have survived being born without medical intervention.
Or me.
Or you. It was something like 25% of white American males in the 19th century, something like 25% died within the first year. And about 2-5% died every year after that until about 60.
No, 2% chance to live every year.
98% chance of living.
Oh, sorry, 98%.
About a 2% chance of dying every year.
Yikes.
When you live in that kind of a world, like my maternal grandmother was one of 11 kids. 3 made it to adulthood.
Yeah.
Only 2 made it past 40.
Yeah.
And that wasn't particularly uncommon. If you're in that kind of a world, you don't have time to worry about why bad things happen to good people. Because bad shit happens all the time. In the news, speaking of bad shit happening all the time, the Cowessess First Nation in Canada found 751 unmarked graves at the site of Maryville Residential School in Saskatchewan. This came just a couple weeks after 215 unmarked graves were found at another school for a First Nations tribe in British Columbia. These schools were run by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, this is bad.
This was part of a then Canadian plan to part of the general, U.S.-Canadian attempt to commit genocide of, all right, we haven't been able to wipe out all of the First Nations or American Indians or Native Americans, depending on which term you're wanting to use. And thus, we will just force them to assimilate, and a lot will probably die in the process. So cram onto reservations, send missionaries, and try to wipe out the culture.
Yeah. They never taught us about how many people died as a result of that.
No.
Assimilation doesn't sound like they're going to kill you. And they didn't, go out of their way to, murder people, I don't think.
No, Catholic schools...
Apparently negligence does wonders for killing people off.
Well, it's like the convents in Ireland, where they found these...
And this is obviously a worldwide investigation that's been going on. This is just the most recent one. I highly suspect the U.S. is having something similar.
We
probably will never reveal the true numbers.
Right, because Ireland found thousands of dead women and babies at homes for unwed mothers run by nuns. And in Canada, they've found now nearly 1,000 unmarked graves at Catholic schools run by nuns.
Right. These kids were ripped out of their family's arms, taken to a school, and then left for dead.
Yeah. So,
fucked up.
In response, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, called up the Pope. What he told reporters was, quote, I have spoken personally directly with His Holiness Pope Francis to press upon him how important it is not just that he makes an apology, but that he makes an apology to the Indigenous Canadians on Canadian soil.
Ooh, yeah.
He wants the Pope to personally apologize on Canadian soil. It should be in those First Nations on their land.
Yes.
He should have to visit those schools, those sites, and apologize there.
He won't, but he certainly set Trudeau certainly set a precedence there for...
Yeah.
Like, all right, you don't come and do this, you're the bad guy.
Yep. Because it...
And you can't just blame it on previous administrations.
Right.
You're the bad guy if you can't come here and apologize.
It should be easy for him to do because it's... He wasn't in charge when this happened. What? He had no personal involvement.
When was the last time you saw the Pope traveling, though? I mean, he doesn't...
Before the pandemic, he did.
Yeah, a little bit, but not much. I just highly suspect that he just doesn't move anymore.
I hope he does.
I hope he does, too.
But that's not the only thing that has come from these reports. Four Catholic churches on First Nations reserve land in British Columbia have been burned to the ground.
Wow.
In the last, week.
Can you imagine your community, the only church in your entire community is the Catholic Church that's responsible for the death of an entire generation? I'd burn that shit down, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always weird going through reservations and seeing that Methodist or Presbyterian or some random Protestant church sitting there. It's like, that's not right.
Those were agents and instruments of colonialism.
And genocide.
Used as an instrument of genocide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you can't go in and tell all these, people who live there, your religion's wrong. You're being oppressed.
Right.
Because they're, fourth, fifth generation believers now.
Now, of course, the tribal chiefs are condemning the fires.
Of course.
Which they should be condemning the fires. Arson is a bad thing. This is a case where I can comfortably say arson is a bad thing. You shouldn't burn down any building. I can totally understand the anger that is being vented through burning an obvious target of obvious rage. Obvious justifiable rage.
Yeah, I could just hear the chiefs going, no, don't do that. Bad.
What Chief Keith Crow of the Lower Similkameen Indian Band said when he woke up to the news that a church on his land was on fire, he said, quote, we still have our Christian and Catholic followers, and they just had a service a couple of weeks ago at that church. They were very upset on Monday when the two churches were burnt in Osoyoos and Princeton. Now that these ones have burnt, it's devastating to them.
That's a good point. That's the thing about being a leader, is you have to consider everybody in your tribe, not just the ones. But, don't do that. Bad.
He also said, quote, I really don't condone the actions of whoever's done this, but it's under investigation. We'll have to wait and see. I really don't condone the actions.
Yeah, that's pretty wishy-washy.
Yeah. Man, yeah. It's hard to get a wink-wink in text. I was really feeling a wink-wink in that one.
Even if there isn't, it's fun to think about.
Mm-hmm. In Turkey, a crowd joined, as they have been doing for many years, to conduct their pride parade in Istanbul.
Okay, I shouldn't laugh.
The Turkish government in recent years has been demanding that pride events not happen.
Yeah.
As they are beginning to crack down on the LGBT community. And police fired tear gas to disperse the crowd.
Right.
They also had police in riot gear pushing and dragging people.
It's hard because this is literally a situation where being yourself can put you in mortal danger. Do you do it for on principle or do you stay safe and survive?
20 people were arrested.
It's a hard one.
If you look at the history of Pride, that's how it started.
Yeah. And it's the principle. Obviously, the people who chose to hide, you know, did so.
Yeah.
The ones who went out on principle knew the risks, and I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be up to the international pressures to make sure that these people don't die in prison or get beaten or their families hurt.
And of course, this is another in the latest on a list of reasons why Turkey's application to join the EU will not be accepted.
Right. You know, human rights is kind of a thing.
Democracy and human rights.
It's a thing, you know, it's considered pretty high priority.
Dictators who have the police fire tear gas on pride parades is not quite what the EU is looking for in new members.
Nah. Which also may have been the point of the parade.
Yeah. And Right Wing Watch is a site. It's a project from People for the American Way, which was established in the 1980s to counter the moral majority right-wing Christian group. And Right Wing Watch was started around 2007 to try to highlight and spotlight horrible things that right-wing leaders, often Christian right-wing leaders, say. And they've gotten in trouble on YouTube quite a bit. And most recently, they got a couple strikes and then banned. That was about a week ago that the initial ban, permanent ban, happened. They appealed the ban and were denied. They broke the story to the media.
Because that's their job.
It went viral.
Yeah.
YouTube reconsidered the appeal and have reinstated their channel.
I can't believe that's what it took.
Yeah.
Because what these guys do is they take clips and then replay them as commentary on, you know, what the people are saying. They mm-hmm. themselves are not spreading misinformation. They are not encouraging violent or antagonistic actions themselves. They're reporting the news.
Now, where there is a difference is they are creating clips of the bad things that are being said and sharing those. You can make a reasonable argument that they are spreading bad ideas.
They are, yeah, I mean, that's a good point, but
now they are
people going to know about the bad things that are being said unless somebody reports on them?
Right, because
I'm
most
sure they probably have people who are based in Idaho because of all the stupid crap that is said here that nobody else would know about if somebody didn't actually write it down and post it.
Or in this case,
say,
grab the clip and, yeah.
So a lot of times that stuff is gone before.
Well, in a lot of these, it's only the fans and followers of these right-wing personalities are going to actually listen to the full hour. Right Wing Watch grabs the two offensive minutes of the most offensive stuff and then reposts that. That makes it so that people are actually going to find the offensive stuff and the horrible stuff that was said. There are lots of news sites that have used Right Wing Watch clips. We use their clips.
Yeah.
Almost every clip I play on the show came from Right Wing Watch, including one that's coming up in a little bit. We also got a strike recently for spreading misinformation. Specifically, it was COVID misinformation because we were talking about a news story.
Oh, right.
About mask burning. We weren't promoting mask burning. We were providing commentary on news about it, but YouTube flagged it and rejected my appeal.
All right, because they don't have people actually look at this stuff. They maybe look at a transcript, but yeah. Well, you probably just got us flagged again.
As picky as they are being, and this has one thing this has kind of, White Right Wing Watch's case has kind of shown is the algorithm appears to be tilted against the people who are calling out the misinformation.
It absolutely is, because that misinformation is being shared in the first place.
And they aren't going after the initial source as often as they are the people who are condemning it.
Yeah. Of course, we know that. All of us on this side of the fence have been seeing that for years.
Yeah.
This is just proof of it.
Now, of course, Rick Wiles of True News, self-proclaimed prophet and...
always a self-proclaimed.
Yes, Christian evangelist. He had some statements about who he thinks was behind Right Wing Watch getting kicked off of YouTube.
That there will be layoffs very soon inside the organization because there's no platform for them to spew their lies and propaganda. I mean, I never prayed God burn their building down. I just, Lord bless them, bless my enemies. I didn't fight. I didn't hire lawyers. I didn't sue. I turned it over to the Lord and said, you deal with my enemies in the way you see fit. He shut down Right Wing Watch today. Let me make this very clear today. Jesus Christ shut down Right Wing Watch.
All right, so... he's accusing Right Wing Watch of spewing hateful propaganda and smearing Christian ministries with their own words.
Well, everybody knows that cut and paste a certain word and it's going to sound worse than it is. The problem here is that they're not doing that.
No. Right Wing Watch does the full clip. When I use their clips, I have to trim it because...
they're long.
They're long, and 3 minutes is not really a good length of a clip for a podcast, so I trim it for length and try not to trim it to make it sound worse than it is. Right Wing Watch does it even more transparently than I do with the full clip. They're not smearing anybody. Those aren't lies. They're these ministries' own words.
Yeah.
Wiles apparently had thought about suing Right Wing Watch, decided against it, and just prayed and believes Jesus shut down Right Wing Watch. What's his thoughts now that it's back up?
Right. Who do you think reported them in the first place?
And also, he apparently hasn't been paying that close of attention because Right Wing Watch is mostly posting their stuff on Vimeo and on their website because they keep on getting in trouble on YouTube. And just getting kicked off of YouTube wouldn't have actually changed that much other than gotten them a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Which it did. Yeah. I've used Right Wing Watch clips lots. I've linked to their site lots in the show notes. I have rarely mentioned them.
Yeah.
This story got me to actually mention them and talk about Right Wing Watch directly.
Good work, guys.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. All right, we don't have any new feedback, but we do have a new patron and an upgrading patron.
Yay!
So our new patron is Chuck. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
And Levi has upgraded his patronage.
Bless you, Levi. Bless you.
And Levi, we definitely owe you...
Let's see, at this point, I think it is a cheese board, a beer, a barbecue, and or... just a general hangout.
Or camping trip, or...
yeah, those are the ones I've promised Kristen anyway.
Okay, yeah.
I was excited about the cheese board. It's good to be local, guys.
Yep. Local and personal friends. And if you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. If you want to contact us, there's a feedback form and a SpeakPipe button on the website, whether you want to type it out or speak it out. Or you can always email us at feedback@atheistnomads.com. Lauren, thank you so much for powering through the heat.
Hey, I'm sitting in front of the fan. I'm good.
And I'm not getting as much fan, and I'm, yeah. And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.